Thank you so much. First of all, I just want to say it is humbling to be here before you. God has been so merciful to me and to my family. Anytime I get to step into a pulpit and address a church, it just my legs start to shake. Sometimes when you know what you've done in the past, and we know that we've been forgiven, we know that God has took away the sin, the shame, and all of that. But in the back of our mind, we know that it is only by the grace of God and the mercy of God that we can even stand, and someone like myself be able to open this Bible, and this Bible means the world to me. It is by this Bible that I came to know Christ. It is through an obedient lady that came and was so persistent to share the gospel of Jesus. In a solitary cell. And God has been good to me ever since. So I'm here, and I'm going to prepare you. I have no degrees. I have no high school diploma. I don't even have a GED, a good enough diploma. I don't have that. But what I do have is a Savior, a Redeemer, a God that just has taken care of me ever since. And he's just plain and simple. He is good. Amen. He's so good to me. And he's so good to us. And I pray that the word of God would dwell richly in your hearts. The title is Supernatural Events, Normal People. Supernatural Events, Normal People. I've noticed that everyone wants to see or experience a supernatural move of God. Everyone does. We're in a time in society where people have itching ears. We're in a time and a place where everyone is looking for the supernatural. And as a church that belongs to Jesus himself, the only real and true supernatural moves can only happen by a sovereign God. A God that is King of kings and Lord of lords. A God that is unshakable. A God that has promised us from Genesis to the maps. God is a promise keeper. And when he saved you and when he saved us, that was supernatural act number one. Because every one of us deserved every bit of hell. We deserved that. And yet Christ died for us, loved us, redeemed us, washed us, cleaned us up. I can tell you from experience that if somebody would have told me what I would be doing today in the year 2019, I would have shook my head. I would have thought they were crazy. I would have thought they were besides themselves. And here we are, 20-something years later, and this gospel is so relevant. Today, it was relevant yesterday, and it will always be relevant. His word is above his name. And I want to share with you some normal people that God used in supernatural events. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. And here's what the Bible says. By the way, I love to come to churches and hear that sound of real Bibles being opened. It is so soothing to see churches still have Bibles. I'm just throwing that out there. Here's what the Bible says. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. You might say, well, Peter and John, they were apostles. And I would say, yes, you're right. But let's look at their credentials. In verse 13, the Bible says that they were unlearned and ignorant. That was their credentials. If Peter and John had a resume, that's what it would read. That's it. That's what we got. That's it. That's the only thing that we have. And the Bible tells us that they marveled. The people around them marveled at how they were able to do such supernatural events in the life of a man that was couldn't walk. And if you look at chapter 3, you see that it actually says that this man couldn't walk from his mother's womb. How they knew that? I don't know, because I know that they didn't have that, you know, the jelly and the... They didn't have that then. So they must have found out as the baby came out that there was something wrong with his legs or somewhat. But they couldn't tell prior to that. The Bible records that. So these are guys that were unlearned and ignorant. And ignorant just simply means they were unaware. Unaware of what? Well, unaware of, I'm a fisherman and how am I going to do this? Oh yeah, I have Jesus. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you might look at yourself in a certain way and say, well, you know, I'm not educated. I don't come from an influential family. I don't have this. I don't have that. What's the difference? The difference in these men is that they had Jesus. And everybody took notice of that. What's the difference in you? The difference is that if you're here this morning and you are born again, that same Jesus that Peter and John preached is inside of your heart, inside of your life, ready to do supernatural events through your lives as well. What was their qualifications? We find that in verse 13. They had been with Jesus. When real supernatural events take place, no one can deny it. Verse 16 tells us that. Look at this. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a noble miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. When a real supernatural event happens, no one, absolutely no one, can deny it. You know, I've been sharing my testimony in small groups all over the city here. So it started. And every time I shared my story, my testimony, in little Bible groups of threes and fours, I would get invited to places that, you know, I would go and there was only four or five people there. And I remember as I went there, knowing that there would only be several people, the Holy Spirit would always tell me, go in there like there's thousands. Go in there and give Him your best. Go in there. I'm sending you. Be obedient and go. And share what I've done in your life. And so I did that. And it started here in Los Angeles. And every time I shared my testimony, I would always hear somebody say, you know, when's the book coming out? There's got to be a movie about this. And I thought, that's okay. That's so nice of them. That's so nice of them. But I never thought ever. Number one, I remind you again, I have no degree, no high school diploma, not even a GED. Write a book. How? I'm struggling. If you look at my notes, there was a chance that I could be a doctor because it's just... But the Bible says that if you're faithful in the little, if you just are faithful in the little, at some point, you will be ruler of much. Your testimony and your story is a supernatural event that took place on this earth. God changed your heart, redeemed you. His blood covered your sin and mine. And it is so wrong if we don't share what Christ has done in each and everyone's hearts in this place. We must share Him and share Him boldly. Never be afraid, never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. When I first got out of prison, I never had experienced church. I got born again in what's called the SHU program. It is a 23-hour lockup. It is where the worst of the worst are placed in a state prison here in California. 23 hours, you're inside an 8x10 cell with 1 hour of recreation, mandatory by the state of California. They would chain you up, 5-point restraints, and then walk you pretty much from here to where the soundboards is at. It's pretty much a walk. Maybe a little bit longer, depending on where your cell was at. And then they placed you in a bigger cell, is what it was. And you had an hour to throw a little handball, a basketball, and a pull-up bar. For 3.5 years, I sat in there until this little Baptist lady came. And what boldness of this lady. And remember, I'll never forget that moment when a conversation was outside of my cell. It was a few cells away, but I can hear what they were talking. And this little lady asked the guard, "Is there a man in that cell? Is there someone in that cell there?" Didn't know that they were talking about me. Didn't know that she was asking about me. The guard discouraged her 3 times. "You're wasting your time. I don't think that you should go there. It's a waste of time." 3 times this guard would tell her, "Don't go there." 3 times her response was, "Jesus came even for him." And she approached that cell. And she didn't bring this big Bible, or she just came with the simplicity of the gospel. And the first question that she asked was, "How are you doing?" To which I responded, "I couldn't be better." And we laughed, and she said, "That was a dumb question." I said, "Don't worry about it, it's all right." And she offered for me to join a Bible group. And I said, "No. I don't want that. That's not of me. That's not for me." And this bold lady said, "I'm going to put you in my hit list. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will put words in your mouth that only God knows. And she said, I'm going to put you in my hit list. What colorful words to use in solitary confinement? I said, I don't even know this lady. What? I'm going to put you in my prayer hit list, and Jesus is going to use you. I didn't buy that for a minute. Didn't understand what she was talking about. And then she said this. She said, do you mind if I stop? We come here once a month, and we only have about 2 to 4 minutes with you guys. Do you mind if I stop here every time we come and just talk to you and pray for you? And I remember I told her, I said, "You lady, you can do whatever you want. I'm telling you, I'm not joining any of your religious stuff. I'm not interested." For a year and a half, she went into intercession and prayed over my life. And there was an event and an encounter inside that 8x10 cell that has carried me all the way through. When you come out of those gates, they tell you, we'll see you in 2 weeks. We'll hold your stuff. They have been waiting for me for over two decades. Jesus did that. And Him alone. I love how Peter and John didn't take credit for this. This healing of this man. I love how they just point to Jesus over and over again. If you look at Acts chapter 3, 11 and 12, they even confront the people because the people are marveled that this guy, they know this guy. He's been there at this gate asking for alms all his life. He's an adult male. How is it that he stands? And they're amazed. And here's the two guys telling them, hey, why are you so surprised? As if we did this thing. And their answer is, we did nothing. It was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus. And by His name and His name alone does this man stand right before our eyes. Everything that God heals you, everything that God heals in your life, whether it be a physical ailment, whether it be a spiritual thing, an addiction, whatever it is, never forget to point to Him. Never forget that it was Him all along and Him alone. It is Him and Him alone. The second point is this. Such as I have. What powerful words. Such as I have. In Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Look at this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed on them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I want to tell you that every one of you that is a Christian in this place, you have such as I have. You have it all. You have a package deal in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the living God in you. And all you have to do is speak. And all you have to do is believe. And all you have to do is give credit to whom credit is due, and that is to Him. Amen. He's the one that heals. He's the one that delivers. He's the one who will always be by our side all the way through. Today, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, you have a Paul conversion. And in my mind, I'm going, that's so nice of them. I like to compare myself to the crazy guy in that tomb, who'd walk out and cut himself and break chains. And if you know that story, Jesus comes and boom, supernatural event, he's healed. And the next thing you know, that crazy guy is just sitting with Jesus. And if you know the story, the Bible says that the people were afraid. And I don't understand what? And isn't that the case with many of us that came to Christ? Our families went, oh, now they're crazy. Now that's scary. You know, before you got drunk, you did all kinds of craziness. They were okay with that. Right? They were okay with that. Our family, our friends, they were okay with us closing bars. They were okay with us going all around just doing a mess out of our lives. But the minute that we became born again, something happened there. It's downhill from here for them. They're crazy. Right? And it's, what? You mean to tell me you liked me before? I should be there. What? And they don't understand. They don't understand why we wake up at Sunday morning ready to go and serve the Lord at our local church. They don't understand. Well, then you're really crazy if you come to a midweek service. That's when you've completely lost it. Right? They don't understand that the love of Christ drives us. When we understand what He has done in our lives, that motivates us, that compels us, that shoots us out to every Bible study. When I got born again and I came out, I didn't know church. I didn't know what church. I was explaining to your pastor here just yesterday. I had never stepped inside of a church. I shared in our podcast this week, and I was sharing that what happened with this podcast. The interview person asked me, "How'd you find a church?" And I said, "Well, I didn't know. I thought church. I didn't know about denominations. I didn't know. I didn't know that we were divided in sections and in groups. I didn't know. I thought if your building had a cross, we're on the same team." Because it should be that way. Amen? God is not coming for the Baptist, for the Pentecostal, for the non-denominational. He is coming for a blameless and spotless church. That's who He's coming for. He's coming for men and women that are dead to themselves. That's who He's coming for. And so I stepped out of prison after serving almost a decade in there. And I knew church in a maximum security yard amongst murderers. That's all, that men that were doing life sentences. And there was a bunch of us. There was a little handful by the time that I left. I got born again, and I had a rough time. And you'll know if you read the story of the book or whatever, or if you research me. I went through the ringer when I first came to Christ inside. Because you don't step down from gang leadership and expect nothing to happen to you. My life was required. A hit was placed on my life. And so I went through some pretty hard times. But little by little, I started to witness to other inmates. Little by little. Little by little, one of the founding members of MS-13 came to Christ. Little by little, another guy from a big gang in South Central Los Angeles came to Christ. Another shot caller. And little by little, another one joined me. Little by little, another one joined me. By the period of 2 years, over 200 inmates in New Folsom State Prison had come to Christ. So all I knew was that Some of us got beat to shreds for our faith in there. And we made it to the Bible studies. Some of us went and got hospitalized. And we prayed for them, and then they came back right to the Bible study. And so I knew church that way. And when I stepped out and paroled, I wrote notes. Because I didn't know what else to do. What church do I join? I don't know. And so what I did is, this is before Google, this is before Yelp and anything else. We just had phone books. I remember that. Some of the young people in here were like, what? A phone book? What is that? But they were that fat. Remember that? And they were yellow or white. White was for personal phone numbers, and yellow were for businesses. And so here's what I did. I sinned, and I took the whole section of the church on the yellow pages, and I ripped it off and took it back to my apartment. Because I was going to sit there and copy all single, you know, I thought, nobody's watching this. And I ripped that. I repented. But I took it to my apartment, and I started writing letters. I was in a small city called San Pedro, California. And I walked. I didn't have a car, so I walked to every church, and I wrote a letter. Every church that I found, I went to. And I wrote a letter. And the interview guy says, what'd you write in the letter? I said, it was simple. Dear whomsoever. That's what it said. I just got out from New Folsom State Prison looking for a church. Call me. Not the wisest thing to do. I just thought, I'm born again. Somebody's going to call me. You know how many churches called me? Zero. It could have broke my spirit. It could have broke my spirit. I could have said, forget this, man. I could have said, this is the church out here? I had a better church service amongst murderers. This is the church out here? I'm just trying to go to a church. I'm trying to get my act together. I'm trying to stay the course. No one called. But God is so good. He's so good. I found the church. Been in church ever since. And I can't tell you, man, I love God's church. It's a mess sometimes. Right? Someone said, if you find the perfect church, don't join it. Because you'll ruin it. Right? Don't join it. But I love the church because it's so dynamic. It's so filled with different faces, different people, different backgrounds. And we all fit in this supernatural thing. And supernatural events will end up happening when all of us, and I'm talking about the church globally, stop complaining and start being about kingdom business. If we could agree that we're on the same team, if we could agree to walk together and be about kingdom business, we would be a force that Satan would not be able to come and enter into families, into marriages, into all kinds of stuff. The church is strong. The church is going to make it because God said so. It is that simple. It is that simple. You don't need a degree to go witnessing. You don't need it. If you have it, praise the Lord. Stay in church, we love you. We need you. We need smart people. We do. Nowhere in my office I don't have nothing on my wall. There's like no accomplishments. There's no like Pastor Casey Diaz, boom, nothing. It's just bare walls. But I can tell you this. God has used this foolish man. And in my shop, in our family shop, I own a sign company outside of ministry. I don't know how many people have come to Christ in that shop. I could tell you so many people have been prayed for in that shop. So many people have come to Christ in that place. So many people. And the friends that God has given me, those are supernatural events. I have friends in law enforcement. Imagine that. I did signs for the LAPD headquarters in downtown Los Angeles for major crimes. For major crimes. I installed some signs for them. Made them, installed them. They took me out to lunch. One of them is here. I remember Kenny, his supervisor, wanted to take me out to lunch because I did something for her. I did something, some sign for her daughter's wedding or something like that. And she's a supervisor there. And they came to my house. Cops coming to my house. Wanting to take me out to lunch. And when I went to their car, it's a habit. It's a habit. I reached for the back seat. And Kenny said, sit in the front. I said, no. No, man, I'm not going to sit in the front. I'm going to sit in the back. And we started arguing back and forth. Sit in the front. Get in the front. And his supervisor said this. We're trying to get you out of the habit of sitting in the back. Supernatural events. I sit with him. I'm about to have a... listen. I'm going to Virginia pretty soon. I was invited to a writer's workshop where best-selling authors are going to speak. There's five of us that are bestsellers. There's a lady from Penn State University. There's Tom Homan. Some of you know him, former ICE director. He's on the lineup. There's the lady from the mom's, what is it called? All of these people have been to school. All of these people deserve best-selling books. And then there's me. And I kick off the event. No high school diploma. No degree. Empty walls. They want me to open. I'm telling you, the requirement is spending time with Jesus every day of your life. That's the secret. Is to go to your Bible, research it, fall in love with it, study to show yourself approved, speak to God. My prayer consists of, most of the time, not saying anything to God. I want to hear His voice. I try to say the least amount of sentences, and then I just wait for His voice. Lord, where is it that I go next? What do you have next, Lord? Where do you want me to go, and what appointment do you want me to not go to? I need to know, because I work for you, and I want to go where you send me. I want to go where you want me to go and where there's a message that people are ready to hear. That's where I want to go. Send me to those that need you most. Send me there and I'll go. I've seen it with my own eyes. God move in my life and in the life of many of my friends. God uses ordinary people. Ordinary people. A few years ago, my cousin, she was in a coma in the hospital. And I don't know if you ever had this, but where God tells you don't go somewhere. I didn't go to her hospital bed for about 3 weeks. God didn't allow me to go there. And by this time, my family is looking, because I'm the only pastor in the family. So the pastor doesn't want to go. That kind of thing. But I knew that God hadn't told me to go yet. I waited until God told me to go. When I went, she was still in a coma. Her husband, when I got to the hospital, her husband and her two sons were in the waiting room outside of her room. My aunt was right next to her. She had tubes down her throat, taped, her eyes taped, all of that, in a coma. My aunt, about to just decide whether they're going to pull the plug or not. I went there. I saw the pain, the agony of my family in that waiting room. She was young. But I also knew that God had a purpose that still had to be fulfilled in her life. And I had prayed about that. And I remember I was driving home when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to me, "Go now." And how I know this is that I called my wife right away. I said, "I need to go to Patty's bedside right now." And my wife's response was, "What are you waiting for? Go." I knew that. That's when the Holy Spirit, that's the confirmation. When your wife is in agreement, you just go. Yeah? There was no, you know, just go. And I went. My aunt was right at her at Patty's feet. Her feet were here, and she was massaging her daughter's feet. And I told my aunt, I said, "God's about to do something in here. And I need you to stand with me in prayer and agree. Because God's not done with her yet. And we're going to lay hands on her. And if you don't have faith right now, I need you to step out of the room." She said, "No, I want to be here." I said, "Okay. I'm going to lay my hands on her. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And we're going to believe that God's going to raise her from this coma right here, right now." It was a simple prayer. I laid my hands on her face. I said, "Patty, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, get up from this coma. God is not done with you. In Jesus' mighty name." And when I said that, she just, the tube, the tape, came off and woke up from that coma immediately right there on the spot. Nurses rushed in and didn't know what had happened, but she woke up from that coma, lived for another 3.5 years, became born again, ended up in the church, then passed away. At her funeral, I did the funeral. There were people that I had never seen in my family before. And I asked my aunt, "Who are these people? I've never seen them before." That was the church that she plugged into. Those are all her church friends. Supernatural events happen when this means everything to us. It is that simple. God wants to use every single one of us in here. If you're smart, God wants to use you. If you're not so smart, God really wants to use you. Amen? Amen? And I see this, man, throughout the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 31. Right? We see it everywhere. God wants to use people. He calls the foolish. He calls people like me, ordinary people like you. Normal people. Your pastor works for AT&T. Called by CROD. That's awesome. He calls a sign maker to go behind a pulpit and write a book. Blank, empty walls. And I can't believe how God just, man, when he touches your life, it's over. You're done with you, and he's just getting started with you. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to encourage you. Be bold about sharing your faith with people. You never know what God's going to do with your life. Don't ever be afraid of supernatural events in your life. I have fun in my faith. I have a great time as a Christian. It's not always great, right? Don't ever let some preacher tell you, oh, once you become born again, the birds are going to chirp. When you walk out that house, there's going to be a southeastern wind that's just going to your hair is going to just. When you get in your car and you turn on the radio, your favorite worship song is going to turn on. That's not realistic. This is what Christianity looks like. It's like Magic Mountain. When they first built it. All wood. I got on a roller coaster with my son. And I don't know why I did this. I don't know why. I don't know what compelled me to do this. But I got on a roller coaster, and it was one of the oldest roller coasters in Magic Mountain. All wood. I got on there. I thought, this is easy. I've been on some other ones. I'm a sign guy. I'm used to heights. No big deal. Man, when I got out of that thing, because it's all wood, there's no smoothness to it, my brain was just, you know? But I have fun in my faith because I don't know what God's going to do next in my life. When I got that presidential invite to the White House, I wept on my couch. I couldn't believe it. Because for many, many years in pulpits, I would always say, the chances of me ever being invited to the White House, slim to none. But there is a house that I will go into. A house whose streets are made of gold. I know of a king and where he has invited me. Someday I'll go to his house. But the White House? Probably not. And God said, watch this. Is that what senators? What's his name from South Carolina? Lindsey Graham. I was in the, and Sarah Carter. I was in the green room. About to go on Laura Ingraham, on the Ingraham angle. And I'm sitting there. And the former ICE director, he's in the room. And Lindsey Graham says, you're Casey Diaz. I said, yes. Now, you're not in organized crime anymore, are you? He actually said that. He actually said that to me. And I thought, really? That's how we gonna start? And he said, and I said, no, sir, not, no. He said, well, come here, son. And he hugged me. Lindsey Graham, I got pictures on it. He hugged me. And I'm going, what? This guy is so cool. What? But that's what God does. If you go reading a little further, in 1 Corinthians, right? Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man the things that God has prepared for those that what? Love him. I got a second invitation, presidential invitation, this time to El Salvador. I'm praying in tongues for that one. I'm invited to go to speak at their prisons. and their universities and have dinner with their soccer team. I don't even like soccer, but they're inviting me to have dinner with the team from El Salvador. And you know it's a bad place when they say, "Don't worry, we have military protection for you from the airport all the way until you get back on in your plane back to the United States." And I'm thinking, yeah, let me think that through really good. <You know? laughs> But that's what God does. Don't ever think that God can't do something with your life. Don't ever think that Jesus cannot use you where you're at. Jesus is so interested in using you, your head would spin. He's for you and not against you. He is your friend, He is your God, and He wants to put you in places where you never thought you'd ever go. He wants to do that with your life. Whatever you do in this life matters. He speaks to the foolish. He calls the foolish. Sometimes when I'm preaching and something brilliant comes out of my mouth, I surprise myself. It's in my notes. And that's how you know it's Jesus, right? Because I'm like, that was too smart. That was too witty. That was the Holy Ghost. Yeah? I go to churches and they ask me, why do you still read out of the King James Bible? It's what I started with. It's how I learned. They didn't give me, no. Don't let me go there. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches you. And when you're hungry for the Word of God, you can read a King James Version, and the Holy Spirit of God will direct you and make you understand this thing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Sometimes we get too comfortable and, well, let's make it easier. Let's make it easier. Listen, God will teach you through a King James Bible still. Amen? And that's what I use. That's my favorite version of it. That's just me. That's all. That's a freebie there. Supernatural, I'll close with this. Supernatural events, normal people, reminds me of the story of an elderly woman who had just returned home to her home from an evening church service when she was startled by an intruder. As she caught the man in the act of robbing her home of its valuables, she yelled, "Stop! Acts 2:38. The burglar stopped dead on his tracks. The woman calmly called the police and explained what she had done. As the officers cuffed the man to take him in, he asked the burglar, "Why didn't you just stand there? All she did was yell a scripture to you." "A scripture?" replied the burglar. "All I heard was, she has an axe and 2:38. Supernatural events can take place in different forms. Be looking out for those supernatural events in your life. It is exciting to be a Christian. It is exciting to be of the family, of the household of faith. It is exciting to work for Him. Amen. It is so exciting. I love living. I thought I lived on the edge when I was in gang leadership. No, that was pansy stuff. I love living for Christ because you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know what's going to happen. Right? You never know. Please understand that God uses smart people as well as anybody. There's smart people that God used in there, Luke, right? But if I were to ask right here, how many brain surgeons are here? No brain surgeons? People from NASA? Anybody from NASA here? I always get scared when I ask that because one of these days somebody's going to raise their hand and that's just going to ruin my whole story. Right? But He uses common people like you and me. Common people. Normal people. That are excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Convincing someone to follow Christ is a supernatural event because not everybody is ready to repent. The Bible says that man loves sin. Think about that. Man loves sin. They love darkness. But man, when the Word of God, the love of God, comes into your life, that's it, man. You'll risk your life if you have to remain faithful to what God has called you. Today, I'm so blessed. I never thought I'd get married. Never. I've never, right? Like there's no little girl growing up going, I just can't wait to meet my parolee. Right? That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. And today, we've been married for 20 years. 3 kids. One of my daughters was able to make it. She just started Biola. All my kids are believing. God has blessed my life tremendously. Tremendously. Married to the same girl. 20 years. 3 amazing kids. Sometimes they get on my nerves. That's okay. That's okay. Right? That's just part of it. But I'm blessed, man. This morning, I talked to my son. I said, hey, we got to hang out and do something because tomorrow I leave. Said, where are you going? Are you going to work? I said, I'm going to New York. What? I said, yeah, man, I'm out for the week. But I'll be back. Why are you always going? Why are you always going? I said, it's just for a season. You know, but I'll be back. Don't worry, I'll be back. And we're going to have some fun. But I'm blessed, man. I have the Donnellys as friends. Okay? They actually claim that I'm their friend. That's a pretty big deal right there. That's a big deal. To me, they think that, no. They call me friend. That's all that matters. Like, what a privilege to have wonderful people like you guys as friends that just, they've given me the right hand of fellowship. People like Kenny, man, that is, you know, a wonderful man that I love you, Kenny, man. We just have fun together, and we have such different, you know, walks of life, yet one thing in common, we have Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And that's what matters. So listen, I'm going to pray for you guys. And if anybody in here, man, if you feel depressed, if you're going through things right now, if you think that maybe you feel like giving up, or maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus, and if you don't know Him, my prayer for you is that you would know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. And I pray that you would repent, turn from your sin, and call on Jesus Christ the Lord. And He will fix whatever needs to be fixed. But if you need prayer, man, that's available. And I'd love to pray for you. Whatever that need is. But I thank you so much for inviting me, Pastor Donnelly, and your family. Thank you so much. And thank you for those that came, friends of mine that came. And I have such a great team that just supports me. I love you guys. I hope that someday, and this is so assuring, I hope that someday we will meet in heaven. I hope that someday we'll meet there and we'll shake hands and we'll hug there. And we'll remember moments like this, where the struggle was down here, but now we're there. And we'll laugh at moments. I think God's going to give us some kind of memory of these kind of events, because He loves us. But thank you so much for having me. I love you with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me pray for you, and then we'll just hand it over to your pastor. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful church, your church. God, thank you for Pastor Donnelly, Lord, and his family, for outstretching this invitation, for giving me the honor of even being here, Lord. I pray that everybody in here would fasten their seatbelts, Lord, and that they would enjoy life with you. I pray that this church would be blessed. I pray that this church right here would impact this city in such a way. I pray that the doors would, that there would be line upon lines, that it would look like in and out coming into this church. I pray, Father, that people would see Jesus Christ shine in this church, that the testimonies in this place would be living testimonies. Father, that many men, women, children, elderly would come to Christ in this place. Sanctify this place, Lord God. Set it apart, Father. May it be used. May it see the supernatural events of God in this place. Father, bless this church. Bless it, Lord. May it be a lampstand into the city. May it bring light in the midst of darkness. In the name that is above every name, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.